the war seems to be escalating lah.
Yeah, there is a lot of tension, high tension happening around the world, right? And then that caused a lot of people to be a little bit more scared. And we have seen some of the reaction happening in the market as well.
That's right.
So in the past days, everything, most of the things are red. Yeah, simply because people are scared. So they rather just, hey, hold on to my cash first. Let's not do anything very drastic.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. So today we're going to be spending a little bit of time talking a little bit about geopolitics. But more importantly, we are a channel that is focusing on finance.
Yes.
And more life-related events.
Yes. So we will somehow bring it back towards money and to finance how do we maneuver in this kind of situation.
Yeah. Okay. So before that, Frankie, how was your week?
My week as in the Raya week.
That's right. How's the Raya week?
It's the best time to stay in KL during Raya. and this year, for some reason, is extra quiet compared to the past few years, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially quiet. I think because in the past few years, people were stuck in MCO and all that, right? So people took the opportunity that, hey, this time balik kampung, right? Celebrate kau kau and whatnot. So yeah, I think that made KL a lot more quieter compared to the past.
Yeah, I thought it was a enjoyable time in KL for me because it's a very, very quiet.
Mm.
Yeah, and got to spend more time with family. We actually thought about going for a short trip, but then we thought about the jam. We gave up the idea.
Staycation in KL. That works also.
At first, there was something that we did think about as well. And then we also realized that there are many places that are closed. Yeah, so we wanted to go petting zoo, you know, those kind of things, right? Okay. Hey, many also are ideal for three, right? Close, so it's okay lah, tapa. But nonetheless, now we are back at all the jam. Just now on my way back here, it was jam already. Begin already. Yeah, I believe many of you all are back as well. Now, I think it's time that let us get into the news a little bit.
Yes.
So recently, what happened was Iran actually sent in quite a lot of drones and missiles to attack Israel in retaliation to them assassinating and bombing the
what I read, right, is actually one of the largest airstrike in history.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they send in like more than 300 missiles and
into
the Israel airspace.
That's right. And almost 90% failed. But quite interesting to see is that, do you know that before they send out this airstrike, they actually warn them like a few weeks ahead? That's what they do. Apparently, they do that in war these days. They will tell.
It's more humanitarian. They will also allow all the aids and all the medication and all to go in and prepare first before they launch the attack.
Correct. It's like, it's quite interesting. I mean, the structure of war itself is quite interesting. But because of that, now the world is standing on this very interesting place. Like, whoa, what's the next step now?
Yes.
Is Israel going to go full on in?
Mm.
Then what's it going to escalate into?
Yeah.
Here are some of the questions. Now, as this war is happening as well, we are also seeing Ukraine and Russia having their own interesting progress, right? Yeah. And if you look at this whole thing, a lot of people also say that currently this whole war is a bit of a West and it's a war between authoritarian nations and democratic nations, right? Not the Israel-Palestine one. I'm talking about the
Ukraine-Russia.
It's kind of like a West-East proxy war, right? Because Russia is supported by...
it's like a continuation of the Cold War like that.
Yes, that's extent. Right.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, it's a continuation of Cold War. So there's been a lot of articles recently written talking about whether is there a possibility of going to World War III. And I think it's truly interesting because if that happens, a lot of things could change. And some people are also asking, actually, are we already in a World War III to a certain extent? It's just that it's a proxy fight. So these are some of the questions, right? Now, nonetheless, let's start by talking a little bit about history, right? And when we talk about history here, we just want to state upfront that we're not historians. Whatever that we are sharing about what happened in terms of the background, it's not so much on our opinion on history.
Correct.
But we are just trying to give a little bit of background.
Yes.
Yeah. So we just want to tackle this very carefully.
Correct.
Yeah. So those people who previously weren't too interested in this subject to actually understand better so that they can pay more attention.
Yeah. And for those who are familiar with the story, you can also chip in as well. You can put it into the comments and help us to develop this story together as we talk about it.
Yeah. Help us to clarify, not develop.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. We are not developing story. We are just...
That's right. Okay, so let's begin with how Gaza came about being Gaza to a certain extent. Now, we're going to start by talking about the history from the UK time. Mm. Yeah, we're not going to go into previous. The one you leave it for whoever, historian or whatever not. We are just trying to give a background for investment purpose, all right? So that's what we're going to do.
Mm. Yep. Okay, so actually this piece of land, right, I would say is the most complicated piece of land.
Mm.
It has been at war since I don't know how many donkey thousand years, right? And And until today, the issue still cannot be resolved. It's basically a conflict between a few races and religion and territorial kind of dispute, right? So what happened is that there is the Jewish people and also the Islamic people. They are trying to live on this piece of land. Palestine, Israel, that piece of land. And during the World War One, right, after the World War One ended, UK managed to control this piece of land.
Yep.
And then what they did is that, okay lah, since now I control the land, right, and during the World War, a lot of all these Jewish, they had to flee their country and they all dispersed around the land of Europe and all that. So they were homeless. And because the war has ended, then the UK said, okay lah, then now I declare this is a free state or whatnot. It is now safe and all that. You all can come back to stay. So a lot of Jewish people started to migrate back to this piece of land.
Mm.
When it does, then all the original people who stayed there, who are the Arabic Islamic people, they are a bit unhappy about it. Like, hey, why suddenly got new settlements in my country? So they were very unhappy about it. They were trying to push back a little bit and all that. Eventually, UK also cannot tahan with this kind of internal fighting between these two people, right? So they say, okay, I give up. I don't know what to do with you guys. So can Taiko please come and help or not? When UK say Taiko is the United Nations, so can United Nations come and help or not? So the UN say, okay, let's split the territory. So everybody has their own space. You all don't need to fight. Jerusalem, which is seen as one of the holiest place on earth, right? And everyone would claim...
For both religion.
Yes, for both religion and for both races. So it's very hard to tell...
Both also say this is our place.
Correct. So to be fair, UN say this is an international city. You all don't touch. Okay? This is international city. UN will take care of it. But the rest of it, I'll cut into Israel and also into Palestine. So the Israel side of the people say, okay, since you come and help to become a mediator, we agree. We agree with it. But the Arab people were still not very happy.
Mm.
They say, at the end of the day, it's still all this
still
new...
Still my place. I've been here.
Yeah, I've been right? here and all yeah. this new settlement is here to take my place, right? And apparently during all this carving out of all this territory, somehow I read articles that they would carve out all the lands with great natural resources to a certain group of people. And then the remaining of land is like give to the other side of the people.
Mm.
So it made the other camp of people lagi not happy, right? Mm. They said, no, if I want it, right, you should do it. Either one, you do it fairly, or number two, it's all or nothing.
Mm.
So therefore, they couldn't resolve this issue. And therefore, they keep on fighting until today, there's still no solution.
Yeah, so with this whole thing, what happened is that it seems to be an unsolvable problem. And I think this issue is not something that we seek to have an answer of. Because if over the few hundred years of people couldn't solve this...
It won't be solved within the next 2 years, put it that way.
And honestly, it's not somewhere that I think we are in the position of giving any opinion. But what we're trying to say is that this has always been the zone of conflict for many, many, many reasons.
Mm.
Now, but what happened is that the interesting part is over of the many facts, there seems to be some sort of a peace development for a while. Yes, this peace is on the outside. There's a lot of internal side. But... it is generally well known or generally an open secret that the in Gaza versus versus Israel, it's always not just seen as a war between Gaza and Israel. It's also a proxy war to a certain extent.
Yeah, right? A lot of Middle East countries will get involved.
Yeah, so basically it's all these Middle East countries, they're all fighting, but they're using proxy. So the proxy in the form of Hamas, the proxy in the form of Houthis, you know, whatever not, lah, right? Mm. So they are being supported by them. It's just like last time, Vietnam War was actually a proxy war in between U.S. and Soviets, right? Yeah, yeah, Soviets. It was actually a proxy war. Mm. Yeah, it just so happened it happened on your land. Okay, let's support the fight on my side and your side. Let's win this war without affecting our people, but affecting someone else, right? So these are part and parcel of the things, right? But we won't go into too deep into that. But actually, the interesting progress actually happened in last year. Mm. Yeah. When it began with
the Hamas group surprise attack.
Yes, that particular surprise attack. Yeah, and then capturing of hostages. Mm. So Israel's response was, we have to fight back and we have to save these hostages. Mm. Now, and all these things spiraled into a full-on invasion. Right?
Conflict. Full-on invasion full on of conflict. Israel into Gaza. La.
Yes, full-on invasion of Israel into Gaza. Yeah. There's a lot of opinion on this, how it happened and so on. Again, we are not here to talk about those things. But one thing by factual is this. In Gaza, the casualty of civilians has outweighed combatants from what was being reported at least. Right?
Mm.
So, and we all know and most people would know that Israel's military force is way stronger.
Very advanced.
Yeah, so we were just having a discussion earlier, me and the guys just now.
Mm.
I was saying that, like, it's almost like this 2-person fight, right? And then 1 person rides a bicycle or a normal car, right? And then you both fight. So I ride the car, I go and bang your tank.
Mm.
And then you pissed off, you take your tank and crush my car. It's a bit of a no fight. Yeah. So if let's say both are driving same kind of car, it's still understandable.
Mm.
But when one is a tank, one is a car, it's a bit of a...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But yes, there's still death on the part in the capturing of hostages. Not here to comment on those things.
Right.
But it seems like the effort to free the hostages has gotten so far already. It's no more about that. It's 123 hostages
correct.
Anymore.
Correct. Again, I think it falls back to territory again. Yes. Yeah, like why you come to my land, why I go to your land, right? Yes. So now the issue is that the US and of course the rest of the world is worried that this tension may escalate. And then as Peter mentioned just now, this is always a war between a lot of Middle Eastern countries as well, right? So everyone is worried that if this one escalates, then more and more countries would be drawn into it. So in international relations context, right, there's a term called a balance of power.
Mm.
When there's no balance of power, conflict could happen quite easily. So like you rightly pointed out just now, right, one could be riding a bicycle, one could be riding a tank. The one who is driving a tank obviously is going to say, hey, I have advantage over you, I'm going to attack. But if both also have the same tank, then both sides will start to think, hey, if I attack, I think my casualty will also be quite heavy, you know. So I will think twice. So because of that, right, all these partners, all these international partners has been trying to help both parties to build out their military strength in order to balance the power between Israel and also the Hamas people. So when it comes to a balance of power, which I think now more or less is there because US has already said that I will help with the defense, I will not help with the offense.
Yep.
And at the same time, the Middle East will also say, like, okay, you know, we have to help Gaza people to get freedom and all that, right? So somehow there is this balance of power as at now. And because of that, the oil price, which is one of the major thing in my opinion to monitor to see whether the tension is escalating or not, because Middle East is a main producer of oil and gas, right? If they go into war, obviously oil price is going to go up, but thankfully oil price is quite steady.
Mm.
So, and we also say that the market is always correct. So if the market is correct about the tension is not going up, so hopefully this tension can calm down. Hopefully both parties can sit down on the negotiation table and talk things out instead of doing another strike again.
Yes. So I was reading an article recently about this whole incident of whether is there going to be a World War III, right? So it was said that in the recent development of things, it's getting interesting because at first, Israel started off playing the victim, right?
Mm.
By that invasion, hostage being taken over. But after the death toll all came in and everything all, it's like, oh, wow, okay. Now, and with all the boycotts, you know, with all things happening and... a lot of countries are also starting to be very afraid of their association towards this issue.
Correct.
And how are they going to go forward moving ahead?
Mm.
So as we can see, US is starting to like, hey, you know, Benjamin, can you don't be so crazy to a certain extent? Then they don't come out actively supporting everything already. They are starting to like, hey, you know, take a step back, right? And then let them see where it goes. And right now they are like in that position where, okay, for defense we'll help you, but for offense, no. Now, on the other hand, there's also one part that is pretty scary. Is because of boycott, really, we are seeing a lot of businesses.
Oh, yeah. No need to go far, right?
Yeah, Malaysia
just talk about Malaysia.
Heavily affected. Yes. Even in overseas also, there's quite a lot of... because let's not forget, Muslim population is actually very, very big in the world.
Mm.
It's almost one of the biggest population right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so... I would say that there is also a lot of business interests that are involved.
Mm.
So people are starting to take a step back. Now, on the other hand, for a longer term perspective, I think it's a little bit scary also because remember IS?
Mm.
And remember ISIS. Many of the ISIS and many of these different militants in the Middle East. Many of them actually came about because of all these kind of proxy wars.
Mm.
All this support on the side to help you.
Correct.
And this led to the Houthis, right? Mm. If you actually think about it, remember the Houthi...
the Red Sea conflict. Yes,
the Red Sea conflict. I'm not sure whether is it like, oh, it's part of the plan. It's actually two different incidents from this Hamas-Gaza thing, you know, yeah, whatever not. But what happened is that when a proxy war is being fought and when you give weapons and support them... These groups also have their own interests, you know. Don't forget. So you give me those things, I can use it to do other things. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of like the Myanmar junta case and everything, all right?
Yes, yes.
It's the same thing. You give me all this, right? I'm going to advance my own interests. So that's when you start to have also a lot of these mini conflicts going on, right? Which is not a great thing. Yeah. And there's one particular, within the article, right? One thing that they did say is this. The issue about war is always this. You can calculate everything, but something will always go wrong.
What is it?
Like, let's say you think that I'm going to make sure that this is done this way, right? Mm. But something will go wrong. And because that something go wrong, it will lead to a bigger scale.
Mm.
It's just like, even during Saddam Hussein time, you know, whatever not. Like, let's say I want to catch this guy. But maybe I identify the wrong person. So when I bomb this place at the time, when I bought this place that time.
There's some high rank official
there or something like that, you know. Then something will just go wrong and tip the scale suddenly or either cause an even bigger conflict.
Mm.
In fact, that's how World War I and World War II got out of hand.
Yes.
Right? So they are saying that at this day and age, the truth is while there's a possibility of it going into war, there is a huge interest in many parties not to go into.
Mm.
So even for Israel now, as they are testing the water to go back into full-scale attack response, right? You see, they are not attacking. No.
Mm.
Until now, Israel has not responded. They have not responded and said that we're going to attack Iran. Now, Iran also quite interesting, right? They go and send all the bombs. They know that they can't get them one.
Yeah.
They just send any.
Yeah. It's just to send a message that say, I'm not happy.
I'm not happy. I have the right to defend myself because you bombed the embassy.
Correct.
So you killed my guy. I'm going to send, right? Spend so much of money just to send that. I know no one can get it. I'm waiting for what Israel say. If Israel don't respond, Israel look weak. Right? In a manner, it's a loss in terms of... reputation and the question about now can I take more advantage, you know, war strategy stuff, right? But if they respond, now this is the exciting part.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
If US say they're going to help or who say they're going to help, then now it's a world war scenario because you are talking about country launching attack against country.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. So I think that's, we are at this brink of questions, right? And at the same time, so if you look at Russia and Ukraine itself, the narrative now also is the question of now whether Russia is gonna take over Ukraine, because EU and US also now they are not really supporting. Because how to support two wars?
Correct. And with the US economy situation right now, they are fighting inflation, you know, their economy is not doing very well. And for them to come to support two wars or more, I don't know, man. I have issue with the confidence of US dollar going forward.
Yeah. And not just US dollar, right? Many other countries actually being affected. So just now, right before we start, we watched this short clip from Katie Wood, right? She was talking about that's one of the reasons why Bitcoin is actually going up in prices. We are also not looking at the overall narrative other than ETF, is that there are many countries' currencies devaluing significantly.
Mm.
And therefore, investing in Bitcoin becomes one of their easiest
one way to protect against the devaluation of your currency.
That's right. Because when your currency can devalue by 60%, 20% drop or 10% drop in Bitcoin is nothing. Let's put it this way.
That's true, when you put it that way.
Yeah. Currency is never supposed to drop. Yes. Somebody says it's already granted it's supposed to drop.
Mm.
Yeah, so what's that, right? Mm. So and I think that's one of the latest development of what's actually happening in the world. And with all this as well, you have to understand that many countries are increasing their military budget.
Mm.
Yeah. So actually every single country now is...
I think everyone is trying to protect themselves right now because the world is getting messier and messier, right? But then it comes down to how much firepower that you have collected over the years, lah. Yeah, which is not a very good thing. But again, come back to the concept of balance of power, right? If you don't do something, if you don't increase your military budget and someone else does it, it just makes you look very vulnerable.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is something that cannot be avoided. Everybody has to follow suit if we start to see threat surrounding us. This is just nature.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I just want to quickly address this complaint. Some people say playing victim, they are the victim. Okay, like you say, when I say playing victim, I don't mean in a bad intention for whoever party it is. What am I saying? They are portrayed as a victim in the media. Yeah, that's my point here. Anyway, I'm not going to go on talking about it. Yeah, but my point is that, again, I just want to highlight once again that we are not giving opinion on the situation. We are giving a background of the escalation of conflict and why does it matter in terms of this time round.
Mm.
Now, I think there's one interesting development in US as well, right? When we are talking about all this. Because this war has transcended from from firepower, arm and human, but in terms of trade. And there are some interesting development moving ahead. Just to share with you and to mention to the audience out there, right? Do you know every single country in the world right now that matters are actually literally secretly having a policy, or it's actually quite an open thing, not even a secret, is if Trump comes into power, what they're going to do?
Oh, really?
Yes. Because, which you're going to give a background, you're going to talk a little bit about, touch on the trade war side, the escalation of tariffs, you know, blah, 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 right? Yeah, but imagine now with Joe Biden, that's what we're going to talk about.
Mm.
Many people are expecting Trump to actually go on an even more crazy stance. Yeah? So if he's going to go on more crazy stance, what's the world going to be like, right? And China itself is already preparing itself for Trump to be president, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of countries are doing a preparation for that.
Even before Trump becomes or may or may not become the president, I think Joe Biden has already put a lot of pressure on China as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So the fella is going to vow to be even more aggressive.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. So just to give some context over here, right? So US has also done something to China recently. So if you could recall in the past, there was a boom in the solar panel industry. Right, we are talking about green energy and stuff like that. And then China being China, they have a lot of all these natural resources. And the government supports green energy. So the government provided a lot of subsidies to the industry to build more solar panels and things like that. And when that happens, when China has enough for themselves already, what do? They will have to
give to Wang Yu and put on their roof. Sorry, I just had to inject that.
Yeah, so SolarWest has gotten the contract to build a solar panel on Monokama. Okay, so that's That's another story. But the story here is that because China has already gotten enough solar panel for themselves, they'll have to sell overseas. Now, when you have too much supply, what happens is that price will go down. In international context, sometimes it is known as dumping. Means things I don't want already, I dump to you. And when I dump, I will dump at a very, very cheap price because...
It's a rug pool, eh?
Yeah, correct. It's like a rug pool like that. So a lot of all this solar panel was, quote-unquote, dumped to the US, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, for US consumers, great lah. I get not free, but very cheap solar panel.
Yes.
But what happens is that it will affect US industry, US solar panel industry.
Oh, by the way, just an add-on. Do you know that UK, in UK, I think it was in UK, I read an article, right? That solar panel is so cheap that people made it as fans. Yes.
Oh.
Cheaper to use solar panel as fans than build your own fans. Okay.
But good also, like, you can harvest.
Quite smart, right? Anyway, go on.
Okay. So, US experienced that. And it was very painful. This time around, China's strategy is to continue with the green energy initiative. So, the China government has been subsidizing their EV industry. So, again, I mean, in Malaysia also, Chinese EV cars is so much more competitive compared to other country putting EVs, right? So it is the same in the US as well. Now, again, the US government is aware of this and now they're very careful with this.
Mm.
They say if China is going to export all these EVs, cheap EVs to the America, then what will happen to their own automotive industry? So Biden has come up with a plan. Of course, he needs to go through parliament and get it signed and all that lah. But his plan is to actually increase the tariff of industrial metal from China from 7.5% all the way up until 25%.
Mm.
That is more than 300% increase in tariff. So when that happens, what it will do is it will make China EV cars more expensive to be sold in America, but it will help the US car industry to be more stable.
Sounds like a place Proton that Proton High. I'm sorry.
So that story has been is being played out in the Western countries lah.
Yeah. But this is not the first time they're doing that. Actually, they did it to Japan before.
Mm.
Yeah, Japan used to be leading when it comes to IC design.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then when it was so good.
Mm.
They played this whole narrative of like they are killing our economy, and then people even burn Japanese car in the street, increase their tariff, everything, and then Japan said, okay, you know what, screw it, I'm not gonna go into this part, I'm just gonna make the raw materials to help you to build your stuff, okay? Then like, okay, good, now you're our good friend again.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, America is very interesting, right? Mm.
Capitalist.
Yeah, we were just talking about it, right? Yeah. They are the representation of a free market, the capitalist market, right? That they will never interfere. It is so interesting that those are the things that drove their prices for medication so much more expensive compared to anywhere else in the world, right?
Everything will be based on demand and supply.
Yes, market forces. I don't care, because it's supposed to be good for business.
Yeah.
You know who beat them at that game? China. Mm. China come in only. Okay, it's okay. Right now, we're going to tariff here, tariff there.
We need to intervene here, intervene there. We need no to more protect free market, our people.
So, quite interesting. Yeah. We're not saying whether it's right or wrong.
Mm.
It's just really interesting to watch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, with that all happening, what's the implication to us as an investor? That would be the biggest question that all of us are asking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, number one, definitely we can foresee is when we're talking about in the past, there was always this, in Ray Dalio's words of balance of power, is we are very clear who are the leaders of the nations, right? But at this very point right now in the world is that there seems to be a shift in power. Or uncertainty of who will come in power, right? And because of that, in the past, one of the things that comes together with this power is the use of a currency.
Everybody wants to dominate the currency, right?
That's right. Yeah. And to a certain extent, this is something that has been very subtly shifting, but at a very small scale that doesn't really impact yet.
Mm.
I won't be surprised that it will take, if ever US dollar loses its power, it will take 10-20 years.
Mm.
I mean, if you just think about a peaceful kind, like like in Southeast Asia, Singapore dollars dominate, right? Mm. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. When me and you were kids, it was always a one-to-one, right? By the time we realized that it dominated, it was already $2 to $3.
Mm.
Yeah. So you will only feel it like,
yeah, long term, years, over the long term, only you are able to see the effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense also, because today all the trades, especially commodity trades, are being done in US dollar. Let's play a scenario. Tomorrow when you wake up, suddenly it becomes another currency, currency XYZ. Everything is supposed to be transacted in XYZ. But you are so used to using US dollar for the past, I don't know how many years, like 50, 60 years, right? Of course, you will still think, okay, this one's supposed to be $100, but $100 convert to XYZ first. Ah, okay, then only I tell you what is the XYZ amount. So in the immediate term, that transaction, right, people will still pretty much use US dollar first and then slowly convert. Then maybe 1-2 generations later, people think, ayah, so mafan, everything also convert. Let's just use XYZ. Mm. So the transition will be very gradual, very slow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right now, today, of course, there are two superpowers trying to balance the power. One is obviously the US and the other one is China, because both of them are the two world largest economy. But I would say that in terms of currency, right, there's a third force coming in, which 2 days later, we are going to see this. this third force may become even more powerful. Right? Yeah. And this is the power of people.
Oh. So inspiring, huh?
So inspiring, yeah. The power of people may come in and interject these two superpowers. Yeah.
So, for those of you who get the context, we're definitely talking about Bitcoin. Yeah. This is where it starts segueing into assets itself. Yeah. Now, I think it's really interesting, but before we start, I just want to highlight one more area to go into the currency part. Whatever that's happening around right now, one thing is that commodity prices are increasing. Copper, cocoa, all this just went up. And to a certain extent, right, the way that it goes up are also a bit like, people are reacting. It's like, remember last time COVID time, people chong toilet paper?
It's almost the same. It's the same situation.
It's almost like that.
Yes.
Yeah, people are just, and you can see, after it crashed. Yeah, it's really people are just trying to hoard toilet paper kind of feeling right now.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's why prices are driving up crazy.
Industrial metal is going up like crazy. Cocoa is going up like crazy. Gold price is going like crazy. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway, but it's a double whammy for many, many businesses, especially those who are import based. Because commodity went up, US dollar went up. So if commodity go up by 10%, more than that lah. And then US dollar also go up by 10%.
Wow. Yeah, they,
double, man.
Yeah.
Double, eh. You're not talking about...
Correct.
You're actually killing yourself on both sides.
Correct.
However, people were exporting, congratulations.
Exporters will make so much money, man.
Just windfall out of the blue, man.
Yeah. Commodity price up, US dollar up, and you're exporting all your goods.
That's right. Whew. This is just, it's just windfall.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that many people will be asking this question. Then we are seeing Malaysian ringgit dropping, right? So we just sort of touch base a little bit on that as well. Is the fact that you put yourself in a situation where today, if you are someone who's exporting, let's say, copper from Malaysia, a copper-based product from Malaysia, right? Now, when you export it to overseas and people pay you in USD right now, do you dare to convert the money back into Malaysian ringgit?
Right now, you are encouraged to repatriate the money back to Malaysia.
Yeah.
You're encouraged. Correct. But whether you do it or not...
As a business sense... You're doing it for national service only, you know.
For business sense, may not. Because what if today I convert back to Malaysia and tomorrow I need US dollar again, but it already depreciates.
So usually they will have a pool where they don't simply convert. Yeah. That's standard.
Correct.
But by the end of the year, when you tabulate the earnings, how much do you bring back? That'll be the question. Right? Yeah. So... I think there are different things that can be done. But yes, on the business sense, it's you really are just going to do it for
national service.
Yeah. That's why I think EPF is fantastic right here. Right? Because like they only have a small portion of overseas investment, yet they made so much of money. Right? Yeah, and your EPF, like pretty good, right? Yeah, anyway, that's a topic for another day. Now, let's move into the thing about Bitcoin, right? So here's where, because... what's interesting about Bitcoin, since we are talking about geopolitical tension and shifting of power, Bitcoin is owned by no one. And that's why Frankie used the word, maybe the people's currency, right?
The power of people.
The power of people, right? Because it's owned by no...
Correct.
No country owns Bitcoin. No country can censor Bitcoin. No country can control Bitcoin.
Mm.
Even gold also, to a certain extent, there's a control.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Yeah. There's no control.
Mm.
So therefore, there's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it. It is a free currency. Yeah, but nonetheless, this is still a very volatile asset. So at this point, it's still very hard to become a real currency to be used in a real world context. Mm. Like if you buy a coffee, one Bitcoin tomorrow, that Bitcoin shot up to, I don't know, $100,000, then you lose all the value.
That here's where the interesting thing is, right? Because you have to put yourself in a situation where, let's say if I'm in Africa right now, where my currency is actually dropping significantly. And I need to, I'm earning well, I'm okay.
Mm.
Let's say I earn in a certain figure. I still need to set aside some money every month, right?
Mm.
What do I set aside my money into? Stock market, which is denominated by my currency, and my currency is dropping.
Mm.
What am I going to do, right?
Yeah.
Open a US stock account?
Yeah.
That could be one of the way. Yeah. So if you're interested in opening a US stock account, yeah, you can check out
M+ Global.
M+ Global. Yeah.
Yeah. If you deposit 2,000 ringgit, you'll get 5 free Grab shares.
Oh, wait, 5?
5. Ooh. Not 1, 5 free Grab shares if you deposit 2,000 ringgit into the account.
Right. Hey, and on top of that, we have to thank our real sponsor for today's video. Yeah.
Zeus Coffee.
Yeah.
Cheers.
So thank you very much, Zeus, for sponsoring us. We have our coffee every day.
Mm.
Yeah. Not every day we get free coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But today this episode is being sponsored, so we get a free coffee.
Yeah.
Actually we have been drinking it even before we're being sponsored.
That's true. Yeah. This is simply because they have, well, good coffee and it's reasonably priced.
Correct. Yeah. That's where I think they're fantastic, right? A lot of people thought that whenever I say certain things, is like, for example, remember the Bond one, when we were talking about Bond that time?
Mm.
We were saying Bond Estate is very, very good. Then some people thought that we were like being paid to talk about it. Mm. But you know, it was really a very nice design.
Correct.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the point. Yeah. Now, Zeus, I think it is fantastic because, number one, do you all know that in terms of like this kind of Ang Mo coffee, they're one of the cheapest already.
Mm.
6.90 ringgit.
For Americano. Mm.
Yeah. That's and pretty much one of the cheapest.
Yeah. And if you do the mission check-in every day, you get points, right? And when you reach like, I think 300 points or something, you can redeem cash.
That's right.
Cash
and voucher. Time to time, they send you the complimentary free drink. Correct. Like every 2 months, they'll send me one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then birthday month, you get free cake or something like that.
Yeah, and more importantly, is the taste of the coffee is ngam ngam ho.
Mm.
It is just nice. I would say that for my taste buds, it's just nice.
Mm.
It's like, okay lah, sit right there lah.
Yeah.
So anyway, good local Malaysian brand.
Mm.
Yeah, we like it. Thank you very much, Zeus, once again. Now, let's go back to the question about currency. Mm. So we know that there's going to be one development happening soon, which is 2 days down the road.
Halving
will be happening. Yeah. So, Frankie, what are your thoughts?
Okay. So, a lot of people think, this Bitcoin halving coming, it is going to be world-changing event. You know, Bitcoin going to 100,000, whatever. But I just did some mathematical calculation just now because I'm trying to justify for myself. Actually, when the halving happens at the point in time, or maybe even in the immediate term, let's say 30 days, 60 days down the road, it will not have a lot of impact to Bitcoin price.
Usually within that.
Yeah.
Okay, go on first.
Okay, so I try to justify based on mathematics. So now every block, the reward for Bitcoin is 6.25. So when you go half, it will be
3.125.
Mm. Bitcoin has 144 blocks a day. So that means one day it will churn out, after the halving, it will churn out 450 new Bitcoins every day. But when you look at the Bitcoin transactions per day in the world, there's about 380,000 Bitcoins being transacted. So 400 against 380,000 is like a drop in the ocean like that.
Mm.
It has no impact at all. So if you talk about short-term movement to the prices because of the halving, I think it has got near to zero impact, simply because 450 against 380,000. But what happened is that because of the halving, the new supply of Bitcoin is going to be cut by half. So over the long run, as more and more people understand Bitcoin and they will go into Bitcoin and adopt it, and the demand starts to rise, this is when suddenly you have new demand, but the supply is cut by half.
That's right.
Then only the long-term narrative of Bitcoin halving is impactful to the price will happen.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting part of the technicalities of Bitcoin, is that it's deflationary in that sense, but not deflationary in the sense where it is like, woo! it's supposed to be deflationary, where in the early days, the price hike will be a lot more significant.
Yes.
And as it goes along the way, it's going to kind of like taper down a little bit until it reaches an inflection point where it's even more widely adopted.
Yes.
Right? And we are starting to see that wider adoption along the way. Hong Kong already has the first approved their...
They have approved the Bitcoin and Ethereum ETF. I think the first one will be launched in May or something.
That's right. That's right. So we are going to see definitely more money flowing in. Number two is that you are looking at Ethereum's ETF coming
in
up.
In the US.
Yeah? Now, the next thing that is really interesting about all this is that people are talking about the price movement. Will it be there? Will it not be there? What's the price that you're looking at? So I took a slightly safer stance recently, which is I told a friend the other day, I was saying that I think this period is going to be a bit, you know,
volatile,
and it may take a drawback. I think just 2-3 weeks ago, I was telling my friend, I was saying that, watch it a little bit. I think it's going to draw back a little bit. And I think it's a very normal reaction. A lot of people were saying, oh, this is the end of Bitcoin indeed. This is the end of the rally.
Every time Bitcoin dropped by 5-10%, this narrative will come out.
Correct. That's right. That's right. Every time 5-10% is going to come out. Yeah, I mean, we think that about Malaysian ringgit also, actually.
That's true.
Yeah, a lot of people like drop by, like, end of Malaysian ringgit. Yeah, migrate. You know? Yeah, whatever not. Lah. But the point is that people tend to overreact. If you look at the over the history of Bitcoin going up, there's a lot of dips. And in the past, the dips were about 20%. Every time it dips a bit, 20%, then it should back up, dip a bit, 20%, then it should even higher. Right? And the market is always up and down to go up. Right? So to look at a 10% dip and like say, hey, this is the end. I think that's not a very logical thing to say. Lah. Definitely, number two, I'm not a trader. So I don't really know. Maybe I don't know what am I talking, but I'm pretty much a person who invests over a long term, So my personal thought is that there's one behavior that we have seen people have from the day that we started this until today. When the price is low, people will say, can or not. When the price go up all the way, they'll ask, so high, do you wait till you draw back?
When it's even higher, then they'll ask, now can buy or not?
Correct. Yeah, still can buy or not. Then when you drop, they tell you, luckily I never buy, right?
I bought already.
I bought
at
already
the high,
at the high, right? So I think there was a Jason Leong video that that we've been sending around among our friends just to have a good laugh, right? But the point is this, right? If the idea of the thesis of Bitcoin as an asset is it's a long-term asset. If you're thinking about investing in Bitcoin or you're thinking about making an investment on it, over the long term, you have to understand why is it attractive as a long-term proposition, right? If you're only talking about short-term trading, honestly, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether it's Coca-Cola or Bitcoin or whatever, lah, because it's just news-driven and sentiment-driven.
Correct.
That's all. So our personal thought definitely is at this point, with a lot of things that are happening in the world right now, Bitcoin is quite an asset that is generating mainstream acceptance already.
Yeah, for me, it's also because the price of the movement of Bitcoin recently has sort of correlated more towards what is happening around the world as well. So if you think the world is going to prosper and all that, more people is going to be richer and then they can adopt more Bitcoin, Bitcoin price goes up, right? If there's more uncertainty in the market, right, people want to flee to safety, maybe at one point in time, people would start to think that, hey, maybe digital gold makes sense. Then they will also flee to Bitcoin as well. So as we progress in the development of Bitcoin, I think with the more adoption and all that, it has slowly taken shape to become a mainstream asset.
That's right. Yeah. So it is always very exciting when a new asset class emerge. That is usually when the great price hike happens, right? Yes. When the price has reached its 100% maturity,
then it will become normal, lah.
Become normal, lah.
Yeah.
Simple as that, lah. Right.
Yeah. It will become very stable.
Very
nothing
stable.
Happen. Yeah.
Nothing much happen, oh. That's when it. That's how it works, mah. Right.
Yeah.
So, the point that we want to say is, my position of it is that it is exciting as one of the early.
It's like the gold rush during the Wild West.
Yes, yes. Yeah. In the early days of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, where people are saying that, hey, you better have gold.
Mm.
Then people are a bit like, aiya, cosmetic okay lah, but storing my money in gold. Yeah, I'm sure that there was a time like that.
Mm.
Yeah, so today I was in the podcast also, we were talking about money, right?
Mm.
Yeah, the concept of money is actually created.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
It was never really there.
Mm.
It's a matter of perception, right? In the past, it was I want beef and I got veggie. You got beef, I got veggie. You
exchange.
Want veggie, we exchange, right? Subsequently, then people say, okay lah, we take some seashells, girl, whatever lah.
Mm.
I mean, a seashell's worth nothing lah, let's put it this way, right?
Mm.
But it's just an easier way to make life more convenient.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
So yes, perception is everything.
Mm.
Yeah. For example, property prices.
Yeah, how
it's
to
perception.
Tell how to tell whether this building is worth this much, right?
Yeah, it's perception. Everything is perception. Let's be honest about it, right? The only thing that doesn't really come down to much of a perception is actually business, lah.
Mm.
Because a business has the ability to keep generating income, right? So unless you're talking about income generating asset, most things are perception. And even an income generating asset, adding on our perception becomes something called overvaluation.
Which is happening right now.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's just like Tesla, who is a car maker,
suddenly becomes
It's a tech company.
It's a tech company.
Right? Yeah, okay, to say that, I have Tesla shares.
Now NVIDIA is not a tech company already. It's an AI company.
That's right. Yeah,
so everybody must upgrade.
Right?
Everybody must upgrade.
It's all your perception. Right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, if you guys are interested to get yourself some Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency, you can check out our Luno referral as well.
That's right.
Yeah, you get 75 ringgit extra worth of Bitcoin if you buy 250 ringgit worth of Bitcoin.
That's right. That's right. Now, lastly, one of the things to actually touch on is I also want to highlight the fact that I think that Bitcoin will really move when we start seeing the interest rate go down. Because you still need the market to have money. That will give it the big boost.
The big boost.
If it doesn't have that, it's going to be more of a slow and steady up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that's my personal thought about it.
Mm.
Which, by estimate, last time they said it's supposed to be 5 or 6 or something like that. Yeah.
Now, maybe not even
number 2 or 3, right?
Now, maybe not even one. But the good news is UK may start to cut interest rate in May. And European Central Bank also said that they may start to cut interest rate around June, July, that kind of period.
Why? Because election coming. US also same thing, actually. No difference.
Yeah.
Election is coming. For the first time ever, you see Jerome Powell is not saying too much already, right? Yeah. And they say they're supposed to be, they put it in and say that we are going to have a few cuts. Now they never say that they are going to reduce. It's just the estimate of the market saying that maybe at most 2 or 3.
yep.
Yeah. Ultimately, let's not forget, he's appointed by president. Right? Right. Yeah, okay.
Anyways.
Directly, indirectly, that kind of question. Yeah. No, a lot of question. But the point is that I think what we are looking at moving ahead is a very volatile period. Will we end up being in a very, very messy situation? I do not know, and I hope not.
Mm.
But I think that volatility is going to be the new norm in the next few years. Yeah, that's just how I think things are going to turn out to be. Mainly because of geopolitical tension. And it will always represent itself in the form of trade wars and commodity prices and blah, blah, blah. So it will just automatically affect the market.
Yeah. I hope whatever we are experiencing today is the worst already.
Yeah. I hope that.
Because it is messy enough.
Yeah, super messy, man. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, let's look at the Q&A, right? If you have any question, you can feel free to type into the comment box and then we will pick it up.
So I think the first one here we can look at is Mango Ice Cream say, how do you import export business if BTC swings 20%? The answer is no, you don't use BTC for that purpose, at least not now. Probably not in the near future. Yeah.
I want to address this one first. Jim Wong say, Frankie, with World War 3 coming, wait, I want to stop you there. I never say World War 3 coming. I want to stop you there, right? Okay, but what do you think about Palantir going back in now? We don't give investment advice, so you should do your own research to find out more about Palantir. But generally speaking, they are involved in a lot of big data analysis about this kind of stuff. So if the US government or any government appoint them to do this kind of intelligence research, then they may benefit from
this kind of things. It is already. I think even the US even the Israel-Gaza war itself, there's a lot of AI involved.
Of course.
Yeah, they're using a lot of AI to actually deal with this whole situation. Yeah, so it's quite interesting. Now, another thing is that how is Japan defending their yen? I think one thing interesting about Japan is that the Japanese yen has always been a creature of its own, in the sense where the Japanese people is just okay with it already. I think they depressed long enough.
Yeah,
it's like
finally they say inflation, they're so happy. Yeah, inflation.
Yeah, correct. First time ever in Asia, right? Inflation this year. Yeah.
But then, not high enough like that.
Yeah. They're so excited with inflation, right? Yeah. The stock market boom because of inflation. While the rest of the world is going down because of it, they are actually going up. And Japan now is... I do think that Japan is sitting in a very interesting place, just like Southeast Asia. So now the conversation is about the world south and Japan. Right.
What is world south?
The global south.
Oh, the global south. Oh,
the global south. Yeah, the global south. Because in the past, economy has always been dominated by the north hemisphere. The southern hemisphere never really dominated the economy. And as right now, the war is happening in the north side of the world. Now they have to look for people to, business has to go onward. So it has to be dispatched to down there. India is an interesting place in itself. Southeast Asia itself is unique.
That's true. Yeah.
Because we are good friends to both China and US. Same thing with Brazil, Argentina, all those who has always been in like, US is my taiko, now suddenly they have a choice already. It's getting quite interesting in that sense.
Yep. And with commodity prices going up, you know, all this Brazil, Argentina, they are a main producer of all the commodities, right? Like soybean cocoa lah. I think they are all enjoying this kind of situation to a certain extent.
Yeah. So I think that to have any form of conflict in this area itself, I think it will not be beneficial to anyone at all. Yeah, because to a certain extent, Southeast Asia and the global south, in the sense, is kind of the lubricant in this whole situation right now. Right? If you think about it, actually, we are the lubricant to the whole situation. Yeah. Literally, it's like the worst thing need to go on, you know. We are going to put the front of a... you're not happy, I'm not happy, but down there, let's work. Down there, you better work, you don't fight. Literally, that's what's kind of happening. Now, one more question here is... EPF account tree, but I want to share with y'all that at this point right now, we will not touch on this subject because recently we are trying to approach them to see whether we can get a little bit more information to find out more. So we will refrain from commenting first. Is there anything else that you want to highlight or any questions from the public that you want to take?
Nope, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much everyone for joining us today. Yeah. Yep. We would love to hear from you again and see you all on our show again next week.
Yep.
So thank you very much. If you enjoy the show, please hit a thumbs up and share this video with your friends or listen to us on the podcast on The Real Money Show. Yeah?
The Real Money Show by Mr. Money TV on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and whatever platform that you use.
That's right. Yeah. So thank you very much. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night.